Welcome to the Business Advisor Podcast, brought to you by the Business Advisor Academy. This podcast is dedicated to helping business professionals create, sell, and deliver high impact and high value business advisory services. Now, let me introduce you to your host today, Amanda C. Watts.
I understand how frustrating it can be when you put all the effort in on a sales call and it doesn't convert to a closed deal. You know what I mean. When you've had a great call with someone, you send through the proposal and then crickets. Nothing. The potential client that you thought would sign your proposal and start working with you ghosts you. And you wonder what you've done wrong. You do not understand how such a great call could end with you being ignored and the sale not moving forward. I'm sure you've had this happen to you, and it can be so very disheartening, especially when you feel that the potential client is an ideal fit for your advisory services and that they would be mad not to work with you. But here's the thing. When someone doesn't sign your proposal, it is often not personal. It means that something else is happening. Maybe that they've had something happen in their personal life, maybe their business life, or maybe you haven't done a good enough job in that sales call to ensure that they want to sign up and work with you. And in today's podcast episode, we're going to be discussing how to ensure that you close more sales with less stress and ensure that you optimize your opportunities. So let's dive in. The first thing that I want to tackle is the importance of following up on a potential client and why you can't send a proposal and just expect your prospect to sign. On average, it takes between 5 to 7 follow-ups after an initial meeting to close a deal or secure a client. However, this number can vary widely depending on the industry that you work with, the complexity of the sale, the number of people making the decision, the value of the contract, and so on and so on and so on. A commonly cited statistic from various sales studies and industry reports suggests that 80% of sales require at least 5 follow-ups after the initial contact. Yet surprisingly, most people give up just after 1 follow-up. This underscores the importance of persistence and a structured follow-up strategy to maximize the chances of conversion. This is why accountants really do struggle. And my word, I totally get it. Following up after sending a proposal can seem hard. It can seem icky. It can seem pushy. You don't really want to come across as pushy or salesy. Or worse, sometimes you might just come across as a little bit needy. So not only do you have to navigate the external challenges your potential clients might be facing, but you also have to contend with your own internal hurdles of self-doubt. It is a lot to manage, juggling these external and internal factors simultaneously. So I totally understand why you get ghosted after sending a proposal, as there are a lot of different moving parts needed to align to get the sale across the line. But following up on proposals is the linchpin to ensure you grow your advisory practice. Firstly, following up keeps the communication lines open. After the initial proposal submission, it is all too easy for your document to get buried under the daily avalanche of emails and tasks that your potential client faces. A well-timed follow-up nudges them to revisit your proposal, reminding them of its existence and its importance. It signals that you are proactive and that you are serious about doing business, not just passively waiting for a response and waiting for them to buy from you. It can make you look way more professional by having a structured follow-up. Moreover, follow-ups provide an opportunity to clarify and enhance your initial offer. They allow you to address any questions or concerns that might have arisen on the client's end. This can be critical, as misunderstanding or lack of information can lead to a proposal being sidelined. By reaching out, you open a dialogue that helps you fine-tune your proposal to better fit the client's needs, increasing your chances of a favourable outcome. Additionally, follow-ups help to build and maintain relationships. Business is not just about making a sale. It is about connecting with your clients. If you've been following me for a while, you would have heard me say many times, it's about relationships first and the sales second. Each interaction in the follow-up process helps to cultivate a relationship with the potential client, demonstrating your commitment and personalized attention. This can set you apart from competitors who may simply send a proposal and then passively wait for a response. This reframing that I'm trying to help you see will help those of you who feel that you are coming across as needy. This reframing should enable you to look at following up as a form of customer service and make it about your client and not about you. I know from my own experience, sometimes when I inquire about a service, something can happen and then bam, life gets in the way, one of the children gets sick, or something at work comes up that changes my priorities. This might mean that what I thought was pressing and important might actually get bumped down that priority line. This means that a proposal could get bumped and other things move up the list as I have to make decisions. I am sure that this happens to you sometimes, and we must remember that this will also happen to your prospects. Another thing that we have to take into consideration is that some people are ditherers. It is right now that I want you to think about ditherers and whether they are a good client for you. Through experience, the people who make quick decisions are often the people that have a lot of success in business. The best clients I have ever had join me in my business have been quick decision makers. When I send them an offer and they sign up to the Business Advisor Academy within 24 hours, they end up as great advisory or coaching clients for me. Quick decision makers can move through an advisory coaching process more efficiently. They can rapidly absorb and apply guidance and make necessary adjustments and implement the strategies that you give them. This dynamic leads to faster results, and it's very rewarding for the client, but also for you, the advisor or the coach. Between you and your quick decision-making client, you can achieve their goals in a much shorter time span, and this makes working with them so much fun. Conversely, if it takes someone a long time to make a decision to work with me, I find that they are often very slow to implement and they do not get the results because they are second-guessing themselves all the time. You might be wondering why then you should even follow up with a potential client that's a ditherer. And I totally get that, especially as we only want those great clients. But as I have also said, life can get in the way and some people don't make a decision because they need more information from you and you haven't given it to them. So sometimes even quick decision makers are stuck. Sometimes people just need that gentle nudge, and in a moment I'm going to give you some tactics that will enable you to give them that gentle nudge and in a way that enhances your relationship and makes them trust you even more. Diligent follow-up is a demonstration of your professionalism and your persistence. It is very important, and fortunately it can be systemized, so it doesn't have to take up too much of your time. Okay, so let's have a look a little bit more about why proposals get ignored. Firstly, as happened to me only this week, your proposal might never reach their inbox. I had a sales call with an accountant on Tuesday of this week, and they'd been in my world for a couple of years, but had never bought one of my programs. After a 20-minute conversation, they said they wanted to join Leveraged, and as I always do, I sent through an email with a link to sign up to my program. It took about an hour for me to create it and send it over. But here is the thing. Not a word of a lie, the email never reached their inbox. I sent it through on the Tuesday afternoon, expecting the sign-up to come through on the Wednesday morning at the very latest, and it was crickets. Now, after having over 2,000 sales calls in the past 7 years, I know when someone is going to sign or not, and I knew that this gentleman was going to sign, but he didn't, and I was shocked. Now, because my lovely assistant Shola follows up with prospects 24 to 48 hours after I send a proposal, we found out that he never received the email with a link to sign up. Within a matter of hours, Shola sent it through to him. I contacted him on Facebook and ensured he had everything he needed. But if Shola hadn't followed up with him, would I have ever known that he didn't get the proposal email? And he might have assumed that I simply forgot to send him the proposal, leading him to think that I was a careless business owner for not following through on my promise. It's interesting, eh? Sometimes technology does let you down, which is why this has to be our first thought when a potential client doesn't sign. Maybe they just didn't get the proposal in the first place. Okay, so let's do a deeper dive into other reasons people may not sign your proposal. First of all, timing could be an issue. Your proposal might arrive when the client is too busy or otherwise preoccupied. Have you ever had an email and forgotten that you received it? I bet you have. This can happen to your prospects too. Lack of clarity can often be an issue. Maybe your proposal didn't clearly explain your offer, or maybe your conversation with the prospect felt like a good fit for you, but your prospect still had questions and you didn't give them the opportunity to explore and get the answers before you sent the proposal. Here is another reason for you. Maybe lack of perceived urgency. There may not be a reason for someone to take action fast, and if this is the case, you move down the priority list for them so that they don't make a decision. Maybe your proposal feels too generic, and if you're offering an advisory service, maybe your prospect would like to feel more special. And then finally, maybe, just maybe, they might be considering a competing offer. Okay, so far we've looked at why following up on proposals is important and also why people will probably ignore your proposal when you send it through. Whilst this information is useful for you to understand the reason why, what I would like to do next is look at some of the tactics to help you follow up. And here is the first step. To get the proposal signed, you need to outline to your prospect the journey you and they will go on after they hang up from the sales call. Firstly, you're going to end the sales call with two questions. These two questions are for both you and them to ensure that sending them a proposal is the right thing to do. Before you ask the two questions, you have to frame the conversation using this language. And the language sounds like this. I'm going to give you a template now, okay? From our discussion today, I feel that we would be a great fit, and I'd like to offer you the opportunity to join us here at... And then you insert your company name or your advisory offer. On my sales calls, I say, from our discussion today, I feel that we would be a great fit and I'd love to offer you the opportunity to join the leverage program. So you've framed it, you've given them context, okay? After this framing, you then move on and say, so I just have two questions for you. Are you ready? And then I want you to stop talking and wait for them to nod and say that they are ready. Once they nod and say they're ready, you look at them, if they're on a Zoom call, look at them straight in the eye and say, do you trust yourself to do the work? If they are a good potential client, they will say, yes. As a business advisor, you will need your clients to do some of the work. You are not doing it for them. So when they say yes, you smile and you say to them, so my next question is, do you trust that I am the person to help you? And it is this point where you don't just listen to the yes that comes out of their mouth, but you watch for other cues. You need to look at their body language. You need to look at their eyes and what they're doing. You need to listen to hear if they hesitate. Anything other than a really strong, yes, I 100% trust you, will mean that your proposal will probably get ghosted. If they hesitated on whether they trust themselves, your proposal will also probably get ghosted. Now, there are a lot of things that I cover around sales conversations that will really help with ensuring you secure the sale on a sales call, but I'm going to have to cover that in a different episode. However, the two questions I've just shared with you will give you all the information you need to know about whether it's even worth sending through a proposal. So let's assume you've had a great sales conversation and you get a yes to them trusting themselves and a yes to them trusting you. The next stage is to tell them the process you want them to follow after the call is over. You're going to say something like this. I will send you the proposal within 2 hours or 24 hours, depending how long it's going to take for you to put it together. Then I will tell them that they have a certain number of days to look through the proposal to secure the investment that you quote. It could be 3 days, it could be 30 days. This is for you to decide. I actually have a fast action bonus on my proposal, and people who sign within the first 7 days get a fast action bonus to save some money. Now, this isn't a gimmick to trick people. It's not there to get people to sign fast because I want to make the sale. Remember, fast decision makers make great clients for me, so I'm going to incentivize people who make a quick decision. And also, if I don't have to chase people to work with me, then I save time on the follow-up. So it's a win for the fast action takers, and it's a win on me saving time and getting the best clients. Okay, I didn't realize how big this topic was going to be. I thought it would be shorter than a normal episode, but I don't think it is, so let's keep going. Right, so you've got the two yeses. They trust you. Then you have told them the time frame to make a decision. They agree to that time frame. Now you say your goodbyes and you hang up the Zoom or the telephone. Here is where the follow-up process kicks in earnest. When you send your proposal, you give an overview of your offer and you remind them of the fast action bonus. This is where the clock starts ticking for you and your prospect. Let's say you gave them 7 days to make a decision. Within 24 hours, you need to get your personal assistant to send an email. And this email is congratulating them on the opportunity that has been presented to them. And in that email, you recap on how working with you is such a good decision. This email also needs to include the proposal again and the fast action bonus info. This nudge, this email, can often be all they need, and you will see a wave of proposals signed at this point. If they have 30 days to sign the proposal because it needs more thought and is more complex, then this first email will probably not be enough to get the proposal over the line so quickly, but you can live in hope. All right, so this is where most people give up and don't follow up anymore. And I get that. It can feel icky to be constantly following up. But let me share with you a really important email I want you to send 48 hours after sending the first follow-up email from your assistant. Here is the wording. Hi, Bob. It was good to speak with you a couple of days ago. Is there anything you need from us to help you move forward and join us here at, insert your company name? So mine would be, hi Bob, it was good to speak with you a couple of days ago. Is there anything you need from us to help you move forward and join Leveraged? And this is magic, because we're not checking in, as most follow-up emails are. It's not a pointless email that just clogs up their inbox. It's not going to make them feel bad by receiving it, and it does elicit a response. They will either respond and say, no, all is good, I'm going to be signing today or in the next week, etc. Or they're going to say, actually, I am really glad that you asked. I have a question around the timings of the advisory calls, for example. This is a magic email. If you get ignored after sending this email, which I promise you will not happen often, remember, I've held thousands of sales calls and followed up with thousands of potential clients, then you can send them the exact message again by text, or you can send them a message on LinkedIn asking them to check their email, or you can message them on Instagram if this is where they hang out most. In today's world, we're really lucky because following up isn't restricted to one medium. We don't just need to rely on picking up the telephone or sending an email. We can get in front of our potential clients in so many ways. So when I say follow up with someone 5 to 7 times or more, it doesn't have to take weeks or months for these touch points. You can move the sale along as fast as you want to. Just remember that a lot of the time, if you have completed the sales process well and finished your sales call as I have asked you to, if people don't sign, it isn't about you. It's about timing or their mindset. Sadly, I see too many people think that reducing their price is the way to get clients. Pricing low is not the way to get someone to work with you. Pricing low is not the way to get a great client to work with you. If you have a really clear understanding of your ideal client, if you've created a signature offer that transforms your prospects' lives, and if you have ended the sales call well, if you've sent a proposal in a timely manner, and then used the two follow-up emails that I've just shared with you, the one from your assistant and the one from you, you should see those clients fly into your advisory practice. If all else fails, then you need to send them a break-up email. If it has been weeks and you've been ghosted, then you send them a courteous and professional email stating that you think that they must have gone in a different direction or their priorities have changed and that you're going to close the book on them. Say that you are there if they need you and your willingness to work with them is there, but let them know that the ball is in their court now. This final breakup email is so good for you. It enables you to not live in hope that they might sign. It reduces your anxiety and enables you to go out and get more prospects rather than hoping that this person will sign. You are in control, and whether it is them that says no or you that decides to break up with them, no means next one. Move on to the next prospect. You have to take control, and if you follow this process, you will get control of your sales system. If you've enjoyed this podcast episode, it is just a taster of how I help my clients in the Business Advisor Academy. If you feel you would like to explore working together, then do book a call to see if we're a good fit. The link to book a call is in the podcast description. Thank you for listening to the Business Advisor podcast. I am Amanda C. Watts, and I'm signing off for now. wishing you a good day or night, wherever you are.
Thank you for listening to the Business Advisor Podcast. If you've enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe, share this podcast, and leave a rating and review. To discover more about how you can confidently build an advisory offer into your practice that your clients and prospects won't say no to, we invite you to join Amanda on her next webinar, How to Launch and Scale Your Advisory Offering. Join her by visiting businessadvisoracademy.com/webinar. See you soon.